Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, Should Your Conscience Be Your Guide? Titus chapter 1 and verse 15 is our starting point for this series of studies, so you might want to take a moment now and turn to the first chapter of the book of Titus in your Bible, and we will begin there at verse 15 in just a few moments. As you're turning there to Titus 1, verse 15, I remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program today, we'll give you complete information how you can contact us here at Grace Alive, our mailing address, our toll-free phone number, and also our web address. And in any one of those ways, you can contact us if you have questions or comments about what you hear on the program today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or CDs or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, if you just write and let us know, we'll be glad to get those out to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, we read this, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." We're talking this month about letting our conscience be our guide. And as we opened the series last week, we talked about the little song that Jiminy Cricket sang to Pinocchio in the Disney movie, where he told Pinocchio, "Always let your conscience be your guide." Yet here in this passage of Scripture, we're told your conscience is defiled. And if you have a defiled conscience, it's not good for that defiled conscience to be your guide. Now, last week we spent some time just understanding the makeup of man, understanding how it is that man is put together. And we've talked about this in depth in the broadcast in the past, so we just spent some time reviewing it last week. We'll just go over it one more time here today. That mankind is made up of spirit and soul and body. And that each part of man serves a purpose. The body is what allows you to relate to the environment around you. It's what tells you if it's hot or cold, for example. The soul is what allows you to relate to others of your own kind, of your own species. It's the thing that allows you to have a relationship, to have emotion, to have affection toward one another, to have anger, to have hatred, whatever the emotions might be. Those come from your soul. It is also something that you have in common with the animal creation. As we saw last week, a body is something that all creation has in common, man, animals, and plants. A soul is something that man and animals have in common. That is, that a plant has form and structure, it has a body, but it has nothing to animate that body. It has life, but a very different life than an animal has. An animal has a soul. An animal has a body that is animated. It can relate to it can relate not only to the environment around it with its body, but also relates to one another, to dogs, to cats, whatever the case might be. They can relate to one another. But then the spirit that's within man is the highest level of creation. And that sets man apart from the animal world. We are not an animal in the sense that we have a duality like an animal does, a body and a soul. Rather, we are a triune being. We read the verse last week in Genesis chapter 1. In fact, let's just go back there to Genesis chapter 1. Let's just pick up that verse and look at it once again as we get started today. Verse number 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God created man in his own image. It's this spirit that makes us in the image of God. God is a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Man is a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells us his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All through the Scriptures, it is the spirit of man that can communicate with God and that allows man to know God. John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that spiritual element in man's creation is very important. Now, it's that spirit also where we get this understanding of conscience, of right and wrong. See, for the animal creation, there is no such thing as right and wrong. We might say there's no moral accountability in an animal. An animal does simply what comes by instinct. If one animal attacks another animal, it's not right or wrong. If an animal attacks a human being, it's not wrong in the sense that if one human being attacks another, it's wrong. An animal is simply doing what comes by instinct or what they've been trained and conditioned to do and to respond. They have no moral accountability because they have no spirit. Because they have no spirit, they have no eternal life. They have no eternal existence even. When they're dead, they're gone. The spirit is what allows our existence to continue for all eternity. God is eternal because he's a spirit. Now, that spirit, as I said, is what gives us this idea of conscience. It's what allows us to understand and know that there is a God. It's that part of us that allows us to look out at creation and say, if there's a creation, there must be a creator. It's that part of us that allows us to think in the abstract, to believe in a God and have faith in a God and trust a God that we've never even seen. Now, the problem with man's conscience and with that spirit that's been put in man and that spirit that was put in man to know and understand God is that, as Titus chapter 1 tells us, the conscience has become defiled. And what does that mean? How has it become defiled? Well, let's understand a little bit more about what conscience is first. Conscience is, and this spirit, this mind within us, is that thing within us that is our system of norms and standards. It's that thing within us that when we hear something, or we see something, or we're presented with some information, or presented with some opportunity to do something, we make some evaluations about it. It's good or it's bad. It's the truth or it's a lie. It makes sense or it doesn't make sense. It's reasonable or it's unreasonable. All those instant evaluations that we make are made by our conscience. They're made by this internal set of norms and standards that we have. And for most people, that is the total extent of how they operate. Whether they think something is right or wrong, good or bad, is based upon, if you say, well, why do you think that's good? Why do you think that's bad? Well, I just do. It's what I believe. It's what I feel. For many people, this internal set of norms and standards is based more upon feeling than it is upon any concrete fact or concrete evidence. It's based on feeling. The system of norms and standards that is our conscience is that system by which we evaluate things. You hear something on the radio, you hear something on TV, you pass a billboard, you are talking to someone at the water cooler at work, whatever it might be. Constantly, all day long, you're being bombarded with information. And just as constantly as you're being bombarded with information, your internal sets of norms and standards, your conscience, is making evaluations about that information. I agree with that, I don't agree with that. That's good, that's bad. That's a lie, that's the truth. That makes sense, that doesn't make sense. That's reasonable, that's unreasonable. I'm not sure about that, I'll have to think about it. You're placing things in these categories all the time. The important thing is what is making that set of norms and standards? What's the basis of it? Is it just your feeling that is the basis of norms and standards? Here's an example. Let's look in the book of Genesis. This is when man's conscience became defiled. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God told man, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, that is to be man's standard concerning the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The information that God put into man, put into Adam's mind, this spirit is most closely associated with your mind. It's your thinking, it's your thought process, it's your reasoning ability, your mind. The information that God put into Adam's mind, into his spirit, about the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was, You cannot eat it, because in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, when you look to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve and Adam ate the fruit of that tree. Now, why did they eat the fruit of that tree? Why did they, when God had said, don't eat the fruit of the tree, and the day you eat thereof you'll surely die, what prompted Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of the tree? Well, Adam and Eve began to evaluate the fruit of that tree based not on the norm and standard that God had given them, but based on their own norms and standards that came from somewhere else. Where did they come from? Well, keep your hand right there in Genesis chapter 3, and turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. The norms and standards that Adam and Eve used to determine whether to eat the fruit of that tree are found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Genesis chapter 3, when the woman saw the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh, good for food, satisfying to the flesh. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. It's pleasing to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. That's the pride of life. It'll make me wise. Lucifer had said, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Mankind made a decision. Mankind's mind had its sets of norms and standards changed. No longer was the norm and standard in Adam's mind, God said, thou shalt not eat, from the day you eat thereof you will surely die. Now the system of norms and standards became lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. It looks appealing. It's appealing to the eye. It's appealing to the flesh. It's good for food. It satisfies my pride. I shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And mankind now makes his decision about whether or not to eat the fruit of the tree. Remember, I said, your day, every day, you are bombarded with decisions about what to do and how to do it and what to accept and not to accept and what to believe and not to believe. Here come Adam. No. If you eat the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. It doesn't matter how good it looks. It doesn't matter how good it tastes. And it doesn't matter how much benefit there is in it. I know that God has said, don't eat it. That's the standard. That's my conscience. That's what my mind tells me. But Adam and Eve pushed aside that system of norms and standards and instead said, it looks good. It'll taste good, and it'll make us wise, and therefore we're going to eat. We're going to make our decision not based on the norms and standards that God gave us, but based on the norms and standards of what we feel. The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. See, those are all things that come from internal feelings, feelings of pride, feelings, the lust of the flesh. It'll be good for food. It's pleasing to the eye. That all comes from inside. In other words, Adam and Eve set up their own system of norms and standards. Now, they were prompted by Satan to do that, but they made the decision. They set up that system of norms and standards. They decided to ignore God's system and establish their own system based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And as we go forward in the book of Genesis, over to Genesis chapter 6, we find out that that process of giving up God's standards and relying on your own continued. In fact, God said, in the day ye eat thereof, you will surely die. And sure enough, man's spirit died. that day that he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his spirit within him died. His spirit was created to know God and to understand his norms and standards and operate based upon those norms and standards. That spirit died. It ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. It was created to know God and allow man to operate based on his norms and standards. To be man, God's conscience within his creation, within man. And it ceased to function. Adam and Eve replaced God's standard with their own standard, and their spirit died. And here's what it led to. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The end result of mankind operating based upon his own conscience, the end result of mankind rejecting the counsel of God, rejecting the norms and standards of God, and operating based on his own conscience and his own idea of what's right and what's wrong, is Genesis chapter 6. If you want to see what the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life leads to unchecked, unchecked by God's truth, unchecked by God's wisdom, unchecked by God's judgment even, Genesis chapter 6. The whole earth was corrupt. In fact, if you notice in verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Every thought of their heart was only evil continually, the verses say. You know, what happens when mankind is left to his own imaginations? Verse 5 says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the problem. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why? Because he's now operating based upon his own set of norms and standards. And when man operates based upon his own set of standards, every imagination of his heart becomes evil. And the earth becomes filled with violence. That's a defiled conscience. See, in Genesis 6, as we understand conscience, something that encourages you to do the right thing, in a given situation, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. Every evil of his thought is only, of his heart is only evil continually. Man is corrupt on the earth, and all the earth is filled with violence. Man just operates in a totally barbaric way. He's become like the animals, without any conscience, without any guidance from God. I shouldn't say without any conscience. He has a conscience, but as we're going to see later on in these studies, his conscience is seared with a hot iron. His conscience is corrupted. His conscience is depraved. His conscience is operating based on his own sense of right and wrong. See, these people that are corrupt in the world and corrupted the world in Genesis chapter 6, they don't think what they're doing is wrong. They don't see any problem with what they've done. They think what they're doing is fine. It's only from God's perspective that it's evil. It's only from God's perspective that it's corrupt. It's only from God's perspective that the world has to be destroyed. Mankind thought he was doing fine. But that conscience has been seared. That conscience is depraved. That conscience is operating based on man's sense, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, not based upon the truth of God's Word. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, written by King Solomon in Israel, the wisest man that ever lived. And in Proverbs, Solomon talks about the danger of determining for yourself what's right and wrong. Proverbs chapter 16, and notice with me verse 2. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. You know, one interesting thing that I've experienced in talking with people and counseling people that maybe are doing something wrong, something that's obviously evil, something that's obviously contrary to the Scriptures, and you sit down and talk with them about why they're doing this or how can they justify this. And the thing that's true always across the board is that they all justify their actions. Just what Solomon said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Oftentimes when I talk to these people, if I were to do the same thing that they're doing, they would tell me it's wrong. It's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that. Or if their neighbor did it or their friend did it or someone else in the church, it's, oh yes, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that. But when they do it, they have a justification for it. Here's why. Here's what caused me to do it. Here's what happened that brought it about. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes because he set up his own system of norms and standards. He set up his own standard. But the Lord weigheth the spirit. See, the Lord says, yeah, but that information that's in your mind, in your spirit, that's telling you that's right, where did that information come from? In man's eyes, his own eyes, it's okay. But God says, but where did that information come from? Look in the 21st chapter of Proverbs, chapter 2, or verse 2 rather. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Again, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. See, what God's asking is, yeah, but where did that information come from that's in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that's telling you that thing is okay? A defiled conscience. Turn back to the book of Titus, our starting point for this series of studies. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It's that process of a defiled conscience that leads Paul to say to Titus in chapter 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They have a conscience that's absolutely defiled, that's absolutely wasted, that's absolutely corrupt. You look out in the world today and you see things that are done. You see one faith slaughtering those of another faith. And this has happened throughout. I mean, today it's Muslims slaughtering Christians and Jews. In other times, it has been other religions slaughtering other faiths. There is no difference. It's all the religion of men. And in those religions of men, they slaughter, and they think their conscience tells them I'm doing the right thing. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is defiled. You see, people today commit crime with absolutely no remorse, absolutely no care, absolutely no concern. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is defiled. Their conscience is not operating based on the norms and standard that God gives. It's operating based on their own norms and standards, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And man, by his nature, has a conscience that's defiled. That advice that Jiminy Cricket gave to Pinocchio, let your conscience be your guide, is not good advice when you're dealing with man's defiled conscience. We're going to talk more about the defiled conscience next week and the problem with it. But then the following week, we're going to talk about how to take your defiled conscience and make it pure. How to purify a defiled conscience, because that's really the key. You need to be able to have some system of norms and standards within you that allows you to make godly, proper decisions and to evaluate things that happen based on God's truth. How can you do that? Well, you need to take that defiled conscience and purify it. And we're going to talk through the rest of this series of studies about just how to do that. But right now, we'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments that you might have about the program. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. That's 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. If you'd write to us, if you have a question or a comment about something that you've heard, something you don't quite understand, please feel free to write and ask. We'd be glad to answer that question for you. Also, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or the DVDs or CDs of this entire month series of studies, we'd be glad to get those out to you without any cost or obligation. It'll be all four studies from this month's series. You receive them in one packet, and that will further assist you in helping you understand the truth of God's Word and how to understand how to take your conscience that is defiled and corrupted and purify that conscience and make it no longer defiled, but make it a conscience that will lead you in the proper choices, in the proper direction. We look forward to hearing from you this week, and we look forward to having you tune in again next week. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.